It's always a special privilege to be at the Kirk. So many memories. As I said before, when my family left Carlton Bay Lutheran, the family worshipped here. So I feel, in some sense, the circle is complete. This morning's subject is a very important one. Facing the giants of our life. The reality is that life is wounded. And because of the woundedness of life, all of us, sometime or the other, will have to face our giant or our Goliath. It's never an easy time. It takes energy. It creates fear. And many of us live in fear even though our giants have not arrived. Because in our unconscious life, there are only two real feelings. Love, which comes from God, as the Bible says, the earth is filled with the love of God. And though the mountains shake, my love is always there for you. But in spite of love being in the earth, fear is perhaps the primal feeling of human beings. That when you scratch our consciousness, you will see underneath a lot of fear. Fear of the future. Fear of the past. Fear of the present. So in our country as a whole, with our crime problem, and the many issues facing us, and in our individual lives, we all have to come to grips with facing the giants before us. And these giants are very powerful. They defy description. They defy sometimes discussion. And sometimes they defy even speech. Maybe this morning you're facing a giant. The loss of a loved one. The sickness of a relative. Financial collapse. The loss of your company. And somehow you just feel paralyzed. My prayer is that God's grace through His Holy Spirit may come to bring the healing and power and wisdom of His love. And so, Lord, this morning we come before You. We're human, meaning that we are limited. We can do some things, but so much we have no control over. In fact, when we look at our life, we came into this world with nothing, and that's how we leave. And throughout our life, we experience times of helplessness, times when we just have to question, times when we have to ask why, and sometimes the only answer is a deafening silence. Oh Lord, through Your Holy Spirit, rest upon this congregation this morning. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable, O God, in Your sight. As you heard the text, the story is a well-known story. The story of David and Goliath. I love David, my namesake. I was a little boy, always identified with him and wanted him to be my model, as it were. And the story begins where somehow Saul, the king of Israel, has messed up. And God has told Samuel to go and anoint a new king of Israel. Samuel is led to the house of Jesse. Jesse has 8 sons. And of course, when Samuel came and told Jesse his mission, like most parents, Jesse had in his mind who he thought would be the next king. So he had Eliab, who was trained at West Point, a big guy. Samuel said, not that one. He brought in Abinadab, another West Point graduate, who's fought many battles. Samuel said, not that one. He brought in Shammah, who was really a tough guy. Nobody messed with him. The man of God says, no, not that one. Jesse went through 7 of the big boys, all the guys who were qualified. All the guy who had the macho and what it took. And Samuel was puzzled because he said, God sent me here to anoint the future king. And so he said to Jesse, is this it? I love parents, you know. We all have our prejudices, don't we? Well, you know, that's the real guys. I got a little fella. I mean, he's still, you know, hooked. He's just from Cat Island. He knows nothing. He's in the backyard with the sheep. He not finished school yet, and no way. He can't be a king. He just isn't qualified. Oh, the mystery of godliness. Samuel said, please call him. And watch as little David comes from the door, his hair is over his forehead. He's dirty, he smells of sheep. He's shy like those kids who left. He doesn't know what is going on. And God says to Samuel, anoint the future king of Israel. You can imagine Jesse's shock. There's no power here. There's no training here. There's no education here. But God has spoken. Anoint the future king of Israel. And little David is anointed. And so, you know, you too are anointed. God has called you. Do you realize we cannot know God, as Thomas Merton says, unless God reveals himself to us. In fact, you're here this morning because God inspired you to come. And God inspired you to come because he has already made himself known to you. Why somebody else is in here, I don't know. Yes, you've got to know a lot. As I get older, and I can now have a face wash and shampoo at the same time, it's a little easier because I am willing to say, I don't know, I don't understand. But you're here because you were chosen. You were anointed like David. But so often in the Bahamas, when people get anointed or political office, they feel, aha, this is their hurrah. Not so with God. David was anointed, but God told Jesse, send him back into the backyard. You know, it's amazing sometimes when we reach a certain station in life, we don't want to go in the backyard anymore. We don't do certain jobs we used to do. We are a big honcho. But after David's anointing, he had to go into the backyard of his life to take care of the sheep, to stare into the stars, to experience his prayer life, to experience his meditation. He had to go through the discipline of God. As it says in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and discipline. Did you realize that you cannot know the power and love of God unless you're involved in discipline of knowing God? Do you have a prayer life? Do you read his word? Do you have a daily devotion? Do you practice doing the good? The point is this, unless you match your discipline of seeking God, you will not know the power or the love of God, and you'll be condemned to experience the spirit of fear. And the spirit of fear is rife in our Bahamas, but it's also rife in America. It's all over the world. Could it be that God is saying to us, we have a choice, either to worship the spirit of fear or to enter the discipline of knowing him and experience his power and love. So the first point of facing the giants in our life, you have to do your work in discipline in your backyard. You need a prayer life. You need to read the word of God. You need to come to church. You need to be involved in doing the good. All that is part of the formation of the spirituality that allows you to defy the spirit of fear. Secondly, servanthood. At a certain point, Jesse said to David, your brothers, Eliab, Abinadab, and Shammah, they're fighting with the armies of King Saul against the Philistines, and I need you to take some lunch down to them. Now, I suppose David could have said, look, man, I've been made king. I'm the boss. I'm not the servant to go down and take to those guys. I'm the big honcho now. No. When the Spirit of God comes into our life, the characteristic of knowing God is we become a servant. As Jesus said, he who is the servant of all is the greatest of all. And so we see David now going down to the battlefield to take lunch to his brothers who are fighting. But when he gets to the battlefield, there is no battle. And he's amazed. He goes up to somebody, what's going on here? Well, haven't you heard, they said? The Philistines have a guy called Goliath. He's 9 feet 3 inches. That's a pretty big guy. You know the basketball players. He has a helmet of brass. He has a coat of mail. He has special leg shins made of brass. He has a massive iron spear. And he has a man standing in front of him with another shield. And we're on one mountain, and the Philistines are on the other mountain. And this Goliath comes down in the morning and the night, and he shouts, "Send me a man to fight me. If he beats me, we the Philistines will be your slaves. If I destroy him, you will be our slaves." And right then he came down, and his voice boomed out in the valley of Elah. "Send me a man to fight me. Choose a man." And the army of Israel was terrified. You've had that feeling. Oh, when the giants come, when Goliath rides, human beings tremble. You know what I mean. Go to your life. Go to your past. Go to your future. When the giants rise, when the Goliaths appear, and their voice is heard, we shudder. And so the children of God, of Israel, they shuddered. But little David, the third point, once he'd done his discipline in the backyard and learned servanthood, God gave him courage. You see, courage comes from the Latin word cor, like French word cor, heart. And God says, he lives in our heart. Open our heart to God. God gave David courage, and he said, "I don't see the problem." Which his bigger brother said, "You gotta be kidding. You don't see the problem." No, I don't. God is in charge. If God be for us, and we're the children of God, how come we're trembling when this junkanoo comes and threatens us? And they laughed, said, "Little boy, you don't have a clue what you're talking about." Fourth point. Saul had heard that David said. In fact, he said, "I'll go out." And Saul called him to him, and when he saw David, Saul virtually laughed and said, "This is ridiculous." But you see, David said to Saul, very important, he said, "I was taking care of my father's sheep, and there was a lion that came, and I was able to destroy him. There was a bear that came, and I was able to destroy him. And the same God who allowed me to destroy the lion and the bear will give me the strength to destroy this Goliath who is defying the armies of God." Notice the point. David transferred his experience of facing a lion and a bear, the smaller giants, to face what? The bigger Goliaths. A lot of us are not faithful in taking care of our small lions and small bears. So when our Goliaths appear, we freak out. In order to face your Goliaths, we have to be faithful in facing the small lions and bears. Those everyday challenges, those bills you want to pay, that job you don't want to do. It's only being faithful in the small things and seeing God's grace, we can transfer that faith and courage on the bigger Goliaths. And David said to King Saul, "The same God who allowed me to conquer a lion and a bear in my past life in my backyard, that same God, the God of Israel, will give me the strength to face this Goliath." Well, Saul was not a believer, but he said, "Look, I love your courage. Go ahead." And of course, Saul thought, well, since he's going to go and fight, let's put the proper armor on him. He put a helmet on David, he put a brass coat on him, put some shin guards, but it was so heavy, poor David fell right to the ground. You can't fight your Goliaths in somebody else's armor. Can I say it again? You can't fight your Goliaths in somebody else's armor. You cannot face the giants of your life in somebody else's armor. What happens to us in the Bahamas today, we all want to be somebody else. We want to use somebody else's solution. But God is asking us to go to your own heart and through your prayer life and work in your backyard and come up with solutions that work. I got a miracle sitting in the front row right here. That's Andre Chappelle, I don't mind saying. He sent me for 5 times I failed. For 30 years I tried. I failed and failed. Parents even died. But 3 years ago, one Christmas morning, God came to him in McDonald's parking lot and said, "Stop it! Andre works with me now." What a miracle. Ask him to show you his picture when he's on the street. Ask him to show you how he's chopped up. He was a Goliath in my life. But I had to realize I had nothing to fight that Goliath, the Goliath of cocaine. But God in his own grace produced a miracle. And the same gentleman sitting there after 30 years worked with me today in the program in the community. You have to find the armor that God has called you to use and not to use somebody else's armor. So David goes down to the brook and gets 5 little stones. Now that sounds ridiculous, but that's what God called him to do. You may think your life is ridiculous. You may think you don't know anything. But if God has called you to use what you use, for God's sake, use it. And don't use what I gotta use, because I can't even use what I can use. So don't use what I use. Use what God has called you to use. He got his 5 stones. And with his little sling, he goes to face Goliath. Now notice something very important. 6 points. When Goliath saw David, he actually laughed. And the Bible says, and he cursed David by Goliath's God. Goliath cursed David by his God. Well, you see, David knew the battle was over. Because when he heard Goliath curse him with Goliath's God, David had learned out there in the darkness of the night, taking care of sheep, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Yea, though I walk through the valley of death, I will fear no evil." When David heard Goliath curse him by his God, David knew the battle was over, because there's only one God. And if God be for us, who can be against us? You see what David was saying. The battle looks physical, brothers and sisters. But the battle is physical. The battle in the Bahamas looks physical. The crime looks physical. But the battle is spiritual. And unless we come to recognize that, we can use all the firepower we need. But unless the spirituality becomes right, we can't conquer the Goliaths facing our life. And then a Goliath comes and says to him, "Look, I'll take your body and throw you to the birds. Who do you think I am, a dog? A little guy like you coming to fight me?" And David just says, "You come to me in your own strength, but I come to you in the name of Almighty God, the God of Israel." And of course, action. Always is the time for action. You were preparing our backyard. We must be a servant, yes. We must have courage. We must use our transference. We must use our own armor. But there comes a time when we have to move into action. A stone goes into the sling, and the sling goes round and round, and you know the story. Hits Goliath in the forehead, and he falls to the ground. But David didn't stay there. Perhaps the most important point, 7. David ran up to Goliath and he finished the job. You have to follow through. When you deal with a Goliath, you may knock him down or knock her down or whatever, knock it down. You can't just stay there. You have to follow through. He followed through and finished the job off. And of course, the victory was achieved. Many of us have victory in our lives, but we don't follow through. God has blessed you. God healed you of an illness. God healed your son, your daughter. Have you said thank you? Have you followed through? God has told you to visit someone. Have you followed through? The victory of facing the giants in our lives require following through. Not just action, but follow through. Kirk, please follow through. God is blessing your church. I see it as I come here. God is using this church in a great way, but you've got to keep on following through. Oh, I wish the story ended there. And I wish I could tell you that you've challenged and killed your Goliaths. And face your giants, it's all over. But you know, we're still in this veil of tears. After you kill one giant, guess what? Other giants appear as well. The battle continues. And sure enough, Saul now is basking in his victory. And of course, some ladies come up the street singing, Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed his tens of thousands. Saul gets very angry and jealous of David. And the Bible says an evil spirit goes into Saul's heart. And the same guy who David tried to help now becomes David's enemy. And for the rest of David's life, Saul tried to kill him. The battle continues. Not with a stranger, but with the friend. Did you get it? So in our Bahamas, some of the greatest battles and giants we face are right in our home, right in our family, right in our church, right in our community. But David's focus was on knowing God. The Lord is my shepherd. So when the giants fall, when Goliath crash, don't you ever forget that as long as we're in this place called Mother Earth, struggling along life's soaring main, we will face other giants, other challenges. And so poor David, after conquering Goliath, to help King Saul gets jealous of him, and the rest of Saul's life, he tries to kill David. David has many chances to kill Saul, but he refuses to kill the Lord's anointed. And so remember, in facing the giants of your life, first of all, be true to your backyard. Do your discipline. Develop a prayer life. Learn the word of God. God says, my word is spirit and life. Secondly, become a servant. You got to serve somebody. Either the devil or the Lord, but you got to serve somebody. Thirdly, have courage. God is with you. Don't let fear win. Fourthly, take care of the small lions and the bears, and that will give you a transference to face the giants. Fifthly, use what God has given you. Do not try to use or copy somebody else's art. Use what God has given you. Remember, the battle is not physical, it's spiritual. Issues in your family are not physical, they're spiritual. And as you bow before God, God can bring healing. And then we have to go into action. And when we go into action, we have to follow. But please remember, when the battle is won, the battle always continues. As Portnoy's complaint says, when the therapy is over, it just begins again. Curtis Pinder, you know him well, he died a couple years ago. Dear friend of mine. I gave this talk similar sometime in Calvary Bible Church. And Curtis said, David, I made a lot of notes because I was able to handle a lot of the giants in my life. I was speaking at another church, MTCC, down at Lake Road. It was last year. Curtis now is very ill and dying of cancer. He called me in the corner and he said, David Allen, thank you for your sermon 15 years ago. I'm now facing my Goliath. And I got the same points. I went to visit him the day before he died. And he said to me, I'm at peace. This giant, too, has been beaten. And he went home to be with God. May God give you grace. May God bless you. And if today you're facing a Goliath in your life, may these simple principles that govern the life of David, the life of Curtis, the life of Andre, bring healing and grace and power and victory to your life. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen.